Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Best in Soccer Talk rolls on here on ESPN 97.5. The quotient for excellence just jumped up as these three men just came into the room. Felipe Valenzuela from BN Sport, Rene Aguilar from ESPN Deportes, and Eddie Robinson, my partner on Root Sports, the former Dynamo defender, just walking into the room. Quick word here for Bud Light. They remind you to get down to the stadium. For Bud Light, it's being in the stadium. All right, yes, we are on Root Sports this weekend to do the Dynamo San Jose, but we want you to be in the stadium. You can only set the VCR. Of course, if you're not and you're home, then we do want you to watch Root Sports because boosting the ratings is a good thing for the sport of soccer. But Bud Light does remind you, get over to HoustonDynamo.com. You can get season tickets there for the Dynamo and Dash. Get down and see the international competition. You might have seen the Gold Cup. Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. I personally thank them for their support of helping get me on the radio over the course of many years here in Houston. Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens. Eddie Robinson, welcome in, Eddie.
Thank you very much for having me. I am honored to be in the presence of such great gentlemen.
As the BS is getting thick already. Easy. We're 2 minutes in here. Felipe Valenzuela, BN Sport.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Welcome in.
Glad to be here. You know, three guys, wonderful guys, you know, that we know soccer and we're going to talk soccer.
We are. We're going to have a good night tonight. And Rene Aguilar of ESPN Deportes. Rene, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me here. Tell you the truth, I'm very honored to share the mic with you.
Well, thank you. And I'm very honored to share the mic with you guys. So let's start it off here. Let's just talk about the influx. And I know we've bantered this topic around a lot, but I want you to dig a little deeper into it. The influx of players that have come from foreign countries now. Look, at the star quality is unbelievable. Sebastian Giovinco scoring goals for fun. You got Lampard. You got Pirlo in New York, along with a small name player named David Villa. You got out in L.A. Gio De Santos set the debut this weekend. The stars to Major League Soccer. Eddie, you go first. What does it mean?
It means ticket sales. It means international recognition. It means respect. Even when David Beckham came, the biggest name in soccer at the time, he's obviously been surpassed now by Messi and Ronaldo. That's a different discussion, but there still wasn't the respect of that. This league still didn't have the respect around the world, internationally, especially in Europe, that it has now. And I think not just these international big names, but when you look at the Gold Cup and you look at the success of Haiti, of Jamaica, of these smaller clubs, Major League Soccer isn't just helping the sport in America. It's helping the sport in all of North and Central America.
Interesting thing to point out. Remember when Pelé came? I was a teenager.
Yeah.
That was a big spike for the sport. It was different because the grassroots was not thick. Beckham came and shined the light on the league to the world. This was a masterstroke by MLS because they also offered him a franchise at a cut-rate price of $20 million, I believe, which ultimately will keep him involved in the brand Beckham, still a part of Major League Soccer, synonymous. This was a masterstroke. So we've had these signings now that Felipe continue to make it exciting. I mean, we just got a taste of it with Gerard coming here to Houston.
Yeah, and besides that, Gio Dos Santos, he's here now with the LA Galaxy. You might think that he was going to stay in Spain, but he came to USA. Now, he doesn't mind to sign a contract for $4 million every year. Like I said, you know, I met Eddie when he was playing with the Houston Dynamo, go back to, you know, CONCACAF Champions League, and that he played Pachuca. But he's right. It's respect with the MLS right now. You got the Steven Gerrard, you got the Pirlo. I mean, those players, they have a little bit left in their soccer. But, I mean, they're playing right now excellent soccer. I mean, we see those stadiums packed. You got Kaká in Orlando. I mean, every single game over there is packed. I mean, you want to see those kind of players that they're going to do something for your team. Now, the Mexican League, talking as a Mexican, they are concerned, you know, the most of the guys that they play in the MLS, they say, why are they going there? Why? Because there's tickets, there's advertising, and the sponsors.
Let's not forget lifestyle.
Yeah, quality
correct.
Of life.
I mean,
that's the most important.
You go to New York, you go to L.A., piece of cake. We got Eric El Cubo Torres here in Houston, and he can make a difference if he plays the way the coach wants him to play.
All right, hold that thought, because that's going to be a separate question about what he can do on and off the field. So, Renee, you address it as well here.
I agree with him.
Just brought out a lot of big names. We forgot Kaká.
Yeah,
I agree with him. You know, it's about tickets and promotion. But I think MLS is from it's a very young league. It's 25 years old, more likely. And if you compare with other leagues, they've been for, like in Argentina, Brazil, Mexico, they've been for years and years, more than 50 years. So I think they're making the right move, bringing these players, because not only they sell, but they're going to bring the experience to the players. And you can start telling people that play here in MLS, they're playing with their country, for example, Salvador, they have a very good team. They're very competitive. So they start bringing more experience to the MLS, and I think the lifestyle is a very important thing, because now, for example, Cubo prefers to play in MLS than Mexico, and they have the offer. But I think this is the breaking point where most of the players are going to start preferring coming to the United States. Because of lifestyle, Mexico is a different, completely different.
How much is it about purely security in Mexico?
That's
purely your safety. Tell me how much of it is about that.
I can tell you there's. I heard very, very bad things about, you know, security in Mexico. You know that sometimes, you know, bad things happen there. So I think if the lifestyle is good here, and you feel comfortable, and the media doesn't attack you, doesn't push you that bad like in Mexico. They you make two or three games bad, and then they hit you, you know. In the United States, it's more comfortable. It's a lifestyle that I think the players like.
Well, here in Houston, I can, having been married to a Mexican national and going down there, you know, and having to go out with a bodyguard in Mexico City, it's ridiculous. And
right.
you think it's
it
overkill,
is.
And then you go, well, how much of this is overkill, and how much is this about reality? And you're not going to take the risk. But we also noticed that there's a ton of ex-Mexican footballers moving up into the Woodlands.
Sure.
Having lived there, I was walking down the
correct.
Street. I saw Garcia.
That's right. That's my point.
And all these guys are moving there, and they're moving there because of security.
And besides that, Glenn, I think Eddie can tell you that. We were talking, like I said, about Pachuca game. The fans over there in Mexico, they are more fanatics. I mean, they go crazy. They will insult you. They will throw things at you. They will do anything. The fans in the MLS, they're different. We see families. We see kids. We see a good atmosphere. You know, and once in a while in Mexico, we get carried over. So there goes the fight in the stands. There go the fights and insult the players in the field. And at times they have to suspend the games. That's a sad thing
but
to
I'm
say.
Gonna, I'm going
to
provide this other point and lead into Eddie here. We see a lot of stuff happen at NFL games too. So everybody's not angelic over here. And it is important, though, to find the cultural balance between what gets people to the games from Mexico and Central America and South America, and then meld that with the corporate side of it. And the question, this is the golden question.
You're reading my mind. Number one, what separates passionate fan from a fanatic? Where's that line? Correct. That's the biggest problem. All of the MLS owners, Major League Soccer, everyone involved wants passionate fans. They want people who are dedicated to the team. They don't want people who are throwing things at the players. Where do you draw that line? Now in Houston, with Eric Cubo Torres, for so long, you have this authentic not just Mexican, but Central American base of culture that is huge in Houston. It's massive, but they are tied to their clubs from their countries that they were from. Why? Because we're not better than them. It's getting close, but we're not better than them. And all they want to do is, how do we get those fans to come? Now, we finally get a player in his prime. I mean, this is Luis Hernandez years ago with LA Galaxy.
Correct.
He was aging a little bit. Now we've got a Mexican player in his prime choosing MLS. So maybe now some of these Hispanic fans will say, well, wait a minute. Maybe this is something I can support.
I was talking that on ESPN Deportes about people. They love their, for example, people from Monterrey, they love Rayados, they love Tigres, and they say, I will never go for any other team, right? But there's a lot of fans out there. They don't mind because they've been living in Houston for so long. They get attached to the city. They have kids here, and they don't mind to wear the orange shirt. And that's the movement, start moving fans from massive fans to the Dynamo. I think that's the right point where I think probably you will see in the next, I say months, but probably years, you will see a lot of people.
Latinos, you know, I always kind of grimace when I hear the word Hispanic or Latino because to many Americans it means one thing, but we all know there's distinct differences between a Salvadorian, a Mexican, a Brazilian, an Argentine. And what has troubled me a little bit is the fact that Bonilla Garcia.
Yeah.
Bonilla Garcia is a national hero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Honduras.
Where were the Hondurans? Where are the Hondurans? Have they not been given the olive branch? Is there not enough similar culturally at these games for them to come? But why wouldn't they come support a hero?
You know what? I think it is very difficult to please all the fans. I mean, I remember when they signed Bonilla, not a lot of fans were happy. You know, I remember back that I was working in Univision 45, and they were not as excited. They got excited because they signed Cubo Torres. Everybody's there because he's a Mexican hero. He played with the Mexican national team. But you got a good point, Glenn. I mean, Mexico, when they play the CONCACAF Champions League and they go see Galaxy versus America, let's put it that way, example, they're going to see Gio Dos Santos. They're going to see Steven Gerrard. I mean, so that stadium is going to be packed no matter what. Or if you get Kaká into Pachuca, or if you get Pirlo and David Villa and play Pumas or something like that. I mean, that's revenue for the Mexican soccer. The last player, you know, that we have a major player, it was Ronaldinho with Querétaro. Mm-hmm. And what happened to him? He played probably half of the season because he was always injured or he wanted to do whatever he wanted to
recovering
do.
Recovering from a good night out.
Correct. Recovering for a night out. That's absolutely true. I mean, and he's specific because it's a fact. He's specific.
But in the end, Querétaro is going to say, look, this was a great buy for us. It put our club on the map. We sold jerseys. We got value out of Ronaldinho. And that's what some of these signings are, right, Eddie? Putting us on the map with big stars.
Here's my thing. And again, when you say Hispanic, Latino, I associate with that, especially when it comes to soccer, fierce loyalty.
Correct.
Fierce loyalty. It's going to take some time. And you mentioned their kids. Maybe they weren't born in America. They went with not just their mom and dad, but their grandparents to games. Fierce loyalty. But now they have these kids that grow up in the United States, that grow up in Houston, that start watching this, that start seeing this. And I hope that, you know, I look at the Dash's last two games. Carly Lloyd's in town. It's a bit of a novelty. Can they sustain that? Eric Cubo Torres, can the Dynamo turn that into some tickets, into season tickets, into that fierce loyalty for the Houston Dynamo that all of these clubs, Pachuca, Monterrey, Tigres, sure, Club America, that they have? Can the Dynamo gain some of these Latino fans? It's going to take time. I think it's going to take a generation. This is why MLS is just starting to get so big. Because when I was a kid, when I was 8 years old, 10 years old, I wanted to watch soccer. My parents didn't. I had to beg my parents to take me to a soccer game. Now, my generation, that just a little bit older than me, it's now son, daughter, go with me. Not mom, dad, please take me. It's son, daughter, please go with me. So I think it's going to take another generation. But this is the, these are the cornerstones that need to be set.
But let's be fair.
Now, let me just
happens in a lot of other markets. I mean, a lot of other markets are thriving massively. I mean, Orlando, Portland, Seattle. Renee.
Now, for example, Chivas, below the Mexican national team, the most followers are from Chivas. Now, I think Cubo Torres, being a young player, can have a very good impact in Dynamo. Because it's not like you said, you mentioned Boniek, but Chivas has a lot of followers here in Houston. Mm-hmm. And in Mexico is you know, huge. So I think that's one key that Dynamo think very well about getting Cubo Torres in Dynamo.
What's wrong with Cubo? Young, good-looking, goal scorer. It's all the ingredients for
well.
for the recipe of being put on the pedestal of other athletes in this town, whether it's NFL, yeah. Major League Baseball, or basketball. He's got the ingredients. Now it's all about banging and scoring goals.
Yeah, the only thing he has to do is do his job. I mean, just train hard and just show, not to the media, to the fans, that he can make it happen. And he's going to be the leader of the team, because Dynamo, they have quite a few leaders. We know that, but I mean, a good leader for Hispanic, Latino community, that he said, you know what, I'm going to carry this team. I'm going to put it on my back, and I'm going to make it happen. Now,
hold that thought. We're okay. Going to break. I just heard music. I just want to remind everybody who's listening and who is in studio. Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender, Root Sports. We've got Felipe Valenzuela of BN. Everybody knows him locally from working at Univision. And also from ESPN Deportes, Renee Aguilar. I just want to remind people, Renee's got an event coming up. Where did I put that info? Here it is. The Copa ESPN Deportes, Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's at Houston Sports Park. Quick word on it.
No, but you will see a lot of kids playing soccer. It's very motivating to see those kids playing. And if you have time, pass by. There's going to be a lot of food, music, clowns, and a lot of entertainment for people.
There'll be another clown down there, because I'm coming down there to see you, Renee. So I'll see.
We'll wait for you.
I'll see you down there. You just got one more clown going to the Copa ESPN Deportes. I'm looking forward to watching some games down there and seeing people. All right, we'll take a break here. Amigo Energy Break. A lot more to come. Our thanks to Danish Inspirations, Daspit Law Firm, Bar Munich, Bud Light, 7-Up, Liberty Kitchen, The Gorgeous Gale. We will take a break. More with the guys here in studio.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gao Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
My niece told me about Flo Rida. I had no idea about Flo Rida. It's such an upbeat song. Such an upbeat song.
Know where he's from?
Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We didn't bring you back with Black Sabbath this time or the Rolling Stones. We brought you back with Flo Rida. 713-780-3776 if you want to join the conversation here with this great panel we have in studio. Quick word here, Amigo Energy is proud to sponsor Soccer Matters. And again, I thank Everard Santa Marina and Amigo Energy. The place for news and discussion about the global game is right here each and every week. Amigo Energy now is one of the sponsors. They've served Texas electricity customers for over 10 years. They're a pioneer in deregulated electricity. Amigo Energy offers a variety of products and services for the resident or commercial customers. Now, Amigo Energy also has programs and pricing that fit your budget. Smart thermostats, innovative online and mobile account management tools. Go to www.amigoenergy.com. Sign up for a portable electricity for your home or business. 888-995-9299. 888-995-9299. Also, I remind you, get down to Bar Munich, 6:45 a.m. The doors are open Saturday. Maybe we'll go down there. What do you think, guys? We might go down there for an early Bloody Mary and a little early Premier League. Oh, we got TV that night. We can't do that.
Yeah, I'm going to take it.
We can't do that.
I'm going to sleep in.
Glass
right.
of milk.
But we will do that another time. We'll go down there and see Raymond Chan at Bar Munich. A great spot to watch games. Also, the Gorgeous Gale and my friend Peter over in West University. Two great spots for watching the beginning of the Premier League and Dynamo games. All right, we welcome you back. Eddie Robinson, Felipe Valenzuela, Rene Aguilar, and we welcome you back into studio. And let's go to – we forgot to mention Didier Drogba. So, Eddie, start off with him. 37 years of age, everybody kind of poo-pooing that signing, but, man, he had some welcoming committee in Montreal.
No, I'm not. I mean, you look at the games that he played for Chelsea last year, and I think they were smart with him. He didn't play a lot. He mostly a sub. Only scored a couple goals last year, but he's so intelligent in and around the box. His runs are very good. I think that Montreal's going to benefit from this, especially Ignacio Piatti, the midfielder. He is very smart, very sharp. I think he's going to be on the level of Drogba and able to read his runs, able to match his timing with passes. And maybe Drogba plays this coming weekend. I think that's the plan for him. But even after this weekend, he's got, 12, 13 games left. He could have 5 or 6 goals, which could be the difference of Montreal not just making the playoffs, but possibly hopefully avoiding one of those playing games.
I like what Eddie says about him occupying defenders and creating a bit more space for others, including Piatti, who's one of the, sure, I think, exciting talent in MLS. Let's go to you, Renee. What do you think of the Drogba signing? He's 37 years of age. Now, it is a short-term signing, remember. So this is a little bit of a grasp at sort of what MLS is finding the right player that puts you over the tops to make a playoff run. What do you think, Renee?
I think it's a very good acquisition for Impact Montreal. He's old, but he still have the techniques. He still have the power. You know, we saw him in Chelsea and other teams. He's a very strong player. I think he's going to do something good with Impact Montreal.
Rene? Felipe?
You know, I think his resume is really impressive. With Chelsea, he scored 104 goals. I mean, Chelsea. And with his national team, 65. So he's a strong striker. He's a good striker. I think he's
But what about now, at 37 years of age now? What does he bring to Montreal?
You know what? All the players that they come to play with the MLS, they are in their range, 35 to 40, and they got soccer left. I am sure if we go, the four of us, to the field.
35 to 40? No, he's the only one.
No, but who's, I mean, but I'm
Pirlo, what's Pirlo, 34?
36.
Okay.
Yeah. Pirlo. So that's the average, you know, with the players that come over here. I mean, and they still have legs to play, believe it or not.
I see, for example, I see Pirlo or Lampard, but I see Drogba, and he's pretty strong. I don't know. He keeps in shape. I know he's old.
That guy is a very strong physical freak, man. I mean, look, if he's planted in the penalty area with, as Eddie said, players around him, he still has the strength to hold off defenders. He still has the strength to hold the ball. Eddie, let me ask you, do you agree with me? Do you think there's some coaches in MLS that are in fear of coaching star players like that? Because
every
this
single,
becomes a different
There's
challenge,
not a
right?
coach that would tell you to your face, no. Or, excuse me, yes. There, everyone would tell you no. I think so, because you have to figure out how to manage him. He's 37 years old. We saw last year how Jose Mourinho managed his minutes at Chelsea. He didn't score a lot of goals, but he was important to them off the bench. Everyone, for the amount of money that's been spent on him, with a third of the season left, is going to expect him to play a lot. The question for me is, can Frank Klopas satiate the fans, the media, and Didier Drogba? Didier Drogba is going to want to play. He's going to say he's going to want to play. But after playing in Dallas, after playing in Washington, D.C., after playing in Orlando in August, September, he's going to say, hey, coach, you know what? I need a game off. And that's going to be behind the scenes. And the fans are going to say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of money on this guy. Why is he not playing 90 minutes of every game? Because he can't physically do that anymore. Because no matter what anyone says, when they come to MLS, oh, I've seen this league, I've heard other players talk about it, the physicality of it, the amount of ground that you have to cover because of mistakes made, because of turnovers, is immense. And you don't get that until you get here, i.e. Steven Gerrard 2 weeks ago in Houston was done after 60 minutes, and he was fit.
But look, everybody knows that. If you're going to be the club that brings in a Drogba, that brings in a Villa, that brings in a Lampard, that brings in a Pirlo,
Gerrard,
or a Dos Santos, you as a manager are going to have to manage the ego of that player. And it's a challenge. But I would look at this and say, this is an amazing opportunity for me as a coach now. This is my stretch. Okay, what's Jason Christ going to do at New York City FC in New York? He's got to somehow figure out how to play Lampard, Villa, and Pirlo now. Now, Andrea Pirlo and Frank Lampard are not going to do a whole lot of tracking back and defending. So how do you put these guys in a position, if in fact you can with that many, how do you put them in a position to succeed, get the best out of what they have to offer at their age, their star quality, yet still have a balance of attack and defending and be competitive in the league?
You spend whatever money you have left on a holding midfielder like a Ricardo Clark in his younger ages, right, in his younger years, like a Kyle Beckerman, guy that's going to do the thankless
right,
work.
But I mean, that's
Juninho. You got to get it.
That's the challenge you have as a coach. I would think, man, I want that challenge. I want to stretch as a coach.
I think it's very simple. You just don't play the 90 minutes. You have to manage to play him like in the beginning, 45 minutes, half a time, or maybe a little bit more than that.
They got two games in 4 days. One day he's off.
But make the fan understand that. I mean, they pay big bucks for the ticket. Yep. They want to see the player on the field. Remember the first time with Beckham didn't come to Houston, and people were disappointed. The fans were disappointed. I mean, they pay for that. They pay for the show. They want to see you play. And when they're not there, the fans are going to say, like, what am I doing here? I mean, and like Eddie said, you know what? People is going to buy season tickets, and they buy packages and bundles of the teams they want to see. Now we got variety of soccer players, big players, and when they don't play here, I mean, look at the first game when Kaká came here. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. The stadium, it looks great.
There was a buzz, too. There was a buzz that day.
Same with LA. Yeah.
But I think sometimes you don't need the 90 minutes. I think if you want to manage the time for the player, you can easily manage, half a time, 45, 75 minutes.
People want to see the star players. I mean, look, they don't want to come and see 11 just hardworking guys. Look, I was a hardworking type player. Eddie might say the same. We weren't the people that were going to put people in the seats, but we were going to carry the water jug for the others that will. And the point is, 11 hardworking players doesn't do it anymore in sports. You have to have an entertainment value. You have to have star quality. I might even say the word celebrity.
They're celebrities.
Soccer is a show.
They are.
They are the celebrities.
Soccer is a show.
In the market that is New York, I mean, this is the most temperamental sports market in all of the United States. Can you get away with saying, guys, fans, here's the deal. Here's what we're doing. He's this many years in age. We have to manage his minutes. We have to do that. No, absolutely not. I just spent $4,000 on season's, field size tickets. No, I want to watch him play. That's what I paid for. Otherwise, give me my money back. That's a tough one. Maybe it's easier to convince people in Orlando, Columbus,
Eddie,
Salt Lake,
Colorado. That, Eddie, and the sponsors, because the sponsors, they paid for that too. I mean, some of the sponsors, they pay the big bucks for these players because we know, not all the MLS teams, they don't have the money to finance the player. I mean, the sponsors is the main thing. They have the money, and they invest in the player and the team.
All right, let me set the table again. Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender here, MLS Cup winner and all-star, also on Root Sports. Felipe Valenzuela, Be In Sport. He was down at the Copa America. We must talk a little Copa America before we get out of here tonight. Rene Aguilar of ESPN Deportes. By the way, you can catch Rene down at Houston Sports Park, the Copa ESPN Deportes, Saturday and Sunday this weekend, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'm going to head down there as well, I think, on Sunday. All right, so let's move on to Miguel Herrera. Mexico wins the Gold Cup, albeit somewhat controversially.
Why is he laughing? Why is Eddie laughing?
He goes after a reporter at the airport, promptly loses his job. So now Mexico's got a lot of questions. Let's first talk about, certainly there's nobody in this room. There's nobody in this room that believes this was going to be a long-term hire as a manager. Rene, you start.
It was a time bomb. Herrera, from the beginning, he was a very aggressive player. And some of the times that he kicked and some people, players. And, it was just sometimes we think about who is behind Herrera, who control him, and tell him, not to do things. But when Herrera is not, it's like nobody can stop him. Nobody tells him, you know, you have to do this or don't do that. He goes away from, he goes out of the expectations, you know. And I think it was a time bomb. We saw Herrera in the good times, winning. And he, when he went to the conference, he was telling, you know, this is the way we play. Everything was very beautiful.
He righted a ship that had a bunch of coaches in a short amount of time.
Everybody was thinking about, wait until he start losing, how he's going to control that, how he's going to respond and control himself. And that's what happened. People, he started losing the games. Bad the Copa America was really bad. And the media in Mexico was hitting real hard. So that's why I think Herrera was a time bomb. It was just a matter of time.
Felipe, listen, I want to guide you into Herrera as well, and I want to say this. Emotional, passionate, he was a star. He got him to the World Cup. They had a boatload of coaches coming in and out. He settled it down, got him to the World Cup, albeit with a little help from the United States. And, Michael, by the way, you need to get that goal call out for me from the announcer because it's one of the great – it is the greatest goal call in the history, and I want the guys to listen to this when we come back from the next break. But back to Herrera, was this just ego? Ego out of control?
You know what? I do believe Miguel Herrera is a great coach. But, I mean, he got the Mexican national team before they went to the World Cup. They play New Zealand. I mean, you got to be kidding me. If you don't beat New Zealand, I mean, you're pretty much done. His temper is... You know, it's pretty. I have a couple times. I interview him one on one and everything, and he's a good person, but his temper is really, really, really bad. Now, what happened on the airport in Philadelphia, bringing his daughter, and hitting in the face to another reporter, that was probably what the Mexican Federation said. You know what?
But why would his daughter be with him on a Mexican national team? Why is she on Twitter? I mean, it's just so stupid.
And she is just pretty much bashing every single player, you know. And I don't understand. And the history of sports, you know, what is your son or daughter doing on the press conferences, on the airplane, on the practices? I mean, she got no business there. I mean, and I'm pretty sure the Mexican Federation, they say, you know what? We're pretty much done.
Don't you think the players were uncomfortable with that?
They were uncomfortable too. I mean, we did a really bad Copa America. We were the first team out. Copa Oro, if you ask me for Gold Cup, if it was legit for them to win a championship, and I tell you as it is, it wasn't our Gold Cup. I mean, look
at
what happened.
We're going to get into that.
Costa Rica, we didn't beat it.
Well, hold the thought on that because we are definitely going to get into that. How about your thoughts, Eddie, on Miguel Herrera?
He's entertaining, right? And then when it comes to sports at that level, there's a certain amount of value that goes with someone that is that entertaining. The people like opening the papers the day after and hearing some of the crazy things that he says or the crazy things that he does. And was he a good motivator for the players at times? Probably. Was his enthusiasm and his intensity a plus at times? Probably. But did he take it too far in that temper? It's like we talked about a fine line earlier between passion and fanaticism. Now it's a fine line between competitiveness and temper, as you guys are saying. And his competitiveness got the best of him, and it cost them what could be a really good job. And when you look at the amount of quality players in Mexico, there is no reason that they shouldn't, for the last 10 years, for the foreseeable future, win CONCACAF every year because of the quality they have in Mexico. Their youth development is so much. But that's a dream job for if you have the right temperament. And I think he just took it too far.
I think when you're that married to emotion and passion, at some point you'll burn out. I actually loved him during the World Cup, loved him with the emotion, how he resurrected Mexico. And then I began to get bored with the amount of times the camera's on him. I just got exhausted. So let's talk about who's the next Mexico manager. We've heard Marcelo Bielsa out there. Who do you guys think is going to become the next manager of El Tri?
I heard that Bielsa reject. He don't even know. The last time I heard something, he said the Mexican Federation, they haven't talked to him. So I don't think he's going to be one Ferretti says definitely no, I'm not interested. Maybe, you know, for a coach for Mexico, you have to have a lot of things together. And one of them is, like Herrera, he was on all the commercials, TV, and he was very popular and doing commercials. And I think that's one of them. And I think maybe Matosas probably has all the, you know, all the things that they need to be a coach. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think it has to be not on a Mexican coach. They need to be something from Argentina, Colombia, from another country.
So Renee says go foreign. What do you think? Does it have to be a Mexican coach or can it be a foreign coach?
No, it doesn't have to be Mexican, Glenn. I agree with Renee. You know, Tuca Ferretti is probably one of the coaches with a big temper, and he can, you know, control the players. You know, Herrera, some way, somehow, you know, he didn't have that power to, you know, like we were talking before, you know, he didn't have the power to say, you know what, you're going to do this for me or that, you know. Marcelo Bielsa is a great coach. You know, that's someone that I respect. I heard by the grapevine, and don't quote me, you know, I heard from a really good friend in Mexico, and I'm not going to say his name, but Pep Guardiola was in their mind. Pep Guardiola with Bayern Munich, his contract is pretty much done. So,
just bear with me.
I mean, he's coming for Bayern Munich to Mexico. The Mexican Federation got money? You betcha. They do. They do have a lot of money, and they can pay for that.
Here's what I think's happening to Pep. Pep's going to end up at Manchester City, and guess who's going to take over Bayern Munich? One Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, he will. I believe that.
Perfect. Yep.
He's a perfect fit.
That's a domino effect I think is going to happen.
But that's it. I mean, I think, you know, if I heard by the grapevine that Pep Guardiola maybe take over the Mexican national team, it will be great.
Technology and football. That's our next subject when we come back after break. 713-780-3776 if you want to join the fun here tonight. Technology and football. We got something that's a little out there to discuss when we come back. Eddie Robinson's going to get the first crack at it. So we take you to break. The Daspit Law Firm is working for you 24/7. Houston personal injury attorneys. I know John Daspit. I appreciate his support of this soccer show. They do injury cases from plant and refinery accidents, medical injuries, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler accidents, boat and car, you name it. It's DaspitLaw.com. DaspitLaw.com. 713-364-0915. It's DaspitLaw.com. With the Daspit Law Firm, you rest more assured in times of stress. Depending on the circumstances of your accident, you have a hard-hitting personal or injury attorney on your side to fight for your right for compensation. Whoever guesses the name of this band in commercial break, you guys get a prize. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. It's a 7-up break.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Just want to hear this a little bit. I like the way this busts in by Guns N' Roses. Time, Guns N' Roses, before Axl went whack. 713-780-3776. Let me tell you quickly about two of my favorite restaurants in Houston. Liberty Kitchen in the Heights and Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette on San Felipe near the Galleria. Award-winning chefs at both of these restaurants. Travis Lenig, we had him in studio. Lance Fagan was in here. Just a guy who's got a tremendous vision when it comes to food.
They serve up the best in seafood and meats. I love the Raw Bar at Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette. Plus, if you go over to the location in the Heights, they've got the smoked salmon hanging, fresh fish, oysters, amazing gumbo, right on down to steaks and burgers, also serving breakfast on the weekends. Take it from me for an amazing dining experience. Liberty Kitchen and Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette. LibertyKitchen.com, LibertyKitchenOysterette.com. Say hello to my good friend Carl Eves, who's also very much involved with soccer here in Houston. 713-780-3776. Bud Light reminds you that they are the official sponsor of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. I can only say to Bud Light, thank you so much for all the years of support personally for me on the radio. Remember, it wasn't easy getting soccer on the radio. Bud Light helped me do that way back. They also remind you that they want you to get down and see live soccer at BBVA Compass Stadium, whether it's a Dynamo, International Soccer, the Houston Dash, whether it's a Dynamo San Jose this weekend. Bud Light reminds you, get into the stadium, support the game with like-minded individuals. Bud Light is the perfect beer for whatever happens. Bud Light, the official beer also, yes, of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and all access on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. All right, Cole, what do you got on your mind tonight, Cole? Talk to me.
How you doing, Glenn?
I'm good. You?
Pretty good. Hey, I had a couple questions for you. I'm a pretty big Juventus fan. I was wondering what you think they should do as far as their midfield goes now, if they should, now that the big holes are there, losing Vidal, Pirlo, since Kadira's out for a couple months, I believe.
Kadira's injured. Yeah, that's a big blow.
Yeah. I think they said 2 months. not sure, though. But do you think they should stick with what they have with Correa and Storaro, or should they, can they, or is there anyone out there that you think they should pursue?
Well, the transfer market,
those holes?
Yeah, transfer market's still open. This is a huge transitional period right now for Juventus, based on what they did last year. Because, by the way, they helped raise the flag of Italian soccer a couple of notches, which was sorely needed when it comes to the Serie A and what they did to get to the finals, and how easily they won the Serie A. But, you know, you're losing some huge talents that were a huge part of that. Pirlo, Pogba. Then you get Kadira. He gets injured. So they're going to have to do more in the transfer market. Whether they do it now, whether they do it in the winter, I think based on the competition in the Serie A, after what I just saw from Milan, they may be able to make do at the time, you know, in the time being right now until they get into the winter. But yeah, they've got some real issues. They've got two monster players to actually replace there when it comes to controlling and sort of managing midfields, which ultimately help you manage games.
Yeah, definitely. And also, basically a brand new front attack. What do you think they should stick with running the 4-4-2, or do you think they should change it up and run a three-man front since they have Mandzukic up there? And how do you think they should work in Dybala and the likes of the new guys?
Well, those are always ways to, you know, kind of, if you've lost some players, you go to volume, right? If you got four midfielders that can cover ground and you lose a couple that were athletic or that were your idea men or were your possession men, You can always play with a fifth midfielder and a singular striker. I mean, this is where the manager is going to have to come up with big decisions. It's also sometimes the case of, I always thought that if you had two quality strikers, if you were playing with a third, you might be saying that, well, maybe they're not all good enough. But then the systems have changed now to where, you know, in the case of a Barcelona, you have, you know, three of the best players in the world alongside each other. So ways of sort of alleviating the problem of losing Pogba and Pirlo could come from your tactical setup, could come from acquiring more players, could come from a combination of both. And I think that's really the challenge right now, because with Pogba gone and Pirlo gone, again, these are monster soccer players that are hugely influential into where they got to the Champions League final last year.
Yes, sir. All righty. I appreciate it,
Glenn. I mean, Marquisio, Tevez, you've got Morata, Lichtsteiner. I mean, you still got the basis of some excellent players. But boy, when you lose Arturo Vidal, you lose a lot of attitude as well.
Yeah.
A lot of attitude.
Filled, even though I was there.
Yep. we'll see. I think that's one that we got to wait and see how it all plays out, Cole.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Buddy, thank you for the phone call. So Cole weighing in. 713-780-3776. All right, coming up after this break, we've got my partner on Root Sports, former Dynamo defender Eddie Robinson, Felipe Valenzuela from BN Sport, and also Renee Aguilar from ESPN Deportes. It is roundtable time. You are expected to participate at 713-780-3776. We'll take a break here. Thanks to Amigo Energy, 10 years of experience serving Houston. They've supported soccer here since 2007. Our newest sponsor here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is Amigo Energy. And thank you, Amigo, for coming on board and being great supporters of soccer on the radio and also providing affordable electricity rates and programs for residential or commercial customers. I still got one of the Dynamo jerseys that had the Amigo Energy on it. It's awesome. Take a break right now. 713-780-3776. It's Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.